I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back Matt Englert. Matt is the creator of freelancetransformation.com, where he helps fellow consultants and creative service providers to earn more and to build their consulting business around their lifestyle. Matt's expertise comes from running a web agency for 11 years, which he transformed from a traditional bricks and mortar office and 80-hour work week to significantly less work and far greater profitability. From that experience, Matt has realized that most freelancers and consultants make life far more difficult for themselves than it needs to be. Matt, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on again.
And it's great to be here again.
So we talked last on this show just a little over a year ago on episode 140. And we talked a lot about what you've done with your business. And I want to start off today with talking about how freelancers and consultants make life too difficult for themselves. What do they do?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was an expert at making life difficult for myself in building my agency.
No better way to learn, right?
Oh, absolutely. And since then, I have seen a lot of the same patterns in a lot of other freelancers and consultants, because this is an audience that I work with extensively now. So you start to see the same mistakes repeat themselves over and over again. So, for example, probably one of the biggest mistakes that I personally made and I keep seeing being made is not targeting the right clients, and specifically targeting too many clients. So, for example, I have something that I call the 3-10 client rule, which is this idea that for most freelancers, consultants, especially ones selling to businesses, so, you know, not somebody mowing somebody's lawn, but like a real consulting business, you only need about 3-10 clients every single year to have a massively successful business. And in fact, as you start trying to take on more clients than that as a solo operator, you are actually making life way more difficult for yourself rather than easier. Because every client that you take on, you have to sell to them, you have to onboard them, you have to actually work with them, answer their emails, and so on. So there's a certain amount of overhead with each client that you take on. So if you're trying to grow your business by deciding that next year, instead of winning 10 clients, I'm going to win 20 new clients or 40 new clients, you very quickly realize that that's not at all sustainable, because eventually you just realize that as one person, you cannot possibly communicate with that many people, keep that many people in your mind, or really work with them in any effective way. So a great business model in a freelancing or consulting sense actually needs very little clients and does best with very little clients.
Yeah, that reminds me of somebody who's a manager who has too many direct reports. It's like there's an ideal number that you can manage, and it's not 20.
No.
Because you can't interact with 20 people enough over the course of a week for them to be able to do their job successfully.
Absolutely. You can only slice your time so thin.
Yeah. So why do you think freelancers and consultants make life too difficult for themselves?
I think the primary problem is a lack of experience and knowledge, and not even knowing where to get that knowledge. So, for example, when I started out, I had no idea how to run a website development business. What happened was that I knew a lot about website development. So I equated the idea of having a technical skill, like being able to write HTML and work with content management systems and so on, with being able to build a business, which is actually a completely different skill set. So, of course, I ended up winging it. And the good news is that after 11 years and a couple of financial disasters and a lot of things done wrong, I did figure it out. But if I had actually bothered to work on the other skill set, that business skill set, anywhere near as hard as on my technical skill set, I would have been in a very different position and I would have been there much sooner. So one of the funniest things about me starting really a web development agency is that when I started it, I had never worked for a web development agency. I had never served anyone else. I had never been an employee building websites for people. I had never even stepped foot inside an agency. And suddenly I was expected to know how to run one. And that's absolutely crazy. So having a technical skill is great. It's really important. But it's important to realize that as soon as you decide to go out on your own, there is another set of skills that have to be learned. Skills like understanding how to find clients, how to actually serve clients and serve them well, serve them in a way that makes them happy, because there's way more to that than just, again, your technical skill set. There's the way that you communicate with clients, for example, that makes a night and day difference. And there's all of the other things, like actually being able to make the numbers work. When I started building websites for people, I never once sat down and tried to work out what kind of income do I need and how much do I need to be charging in order to make that income and how many clients can I realistically take on. And it's that lack of any sort of attempt to figure that out that caused a lot of my problems.
But how does something, Matt, like how much income you need in order to be profitable and to meet your lifestyle fit with what you can charge for a website? Because isn't the price for a website dependent upon the value that you're going to be delivering to the client?
Oh, it absolutely is. And we could have an entire discussion just on value-based pricing. But there's two sides of a pricing equation. Yes, from a client's perspective, the client doesn't care what kind of income you need to sustain yourself. They are going to evaluate your pricing based entirely on the return on investment that they are expecting from the project or their perceived return on investment on that project. So they don't care about your mortgage. They don't care about the fact that you have car payments or kids to feed or anything like that. They care about what's in it for them. And that's obviously important to recognize because we want to be able to find clients that we can deliver enough value for that they're willing to pay us to do that and pay us the rates that we need. But the other side of pricing is you do need to validate it. So if you pick a target client that is not willing to pay you a lot of money because that project is not that valuable to them, is that enough money for you to actually live on? Is this actually sustainable? So for example, if I go and do a bunch of website development work for multi-million dollar businesses, there's a very good chance that I'm going to get paid well for that work and I'm going to be able to have the lifestyle that I want. But if I decide instead that I'm going to target local coffee shops and build websites for them, well, I'm going to tell you right now, your local coffee shop is going to pay way less for a website than a multi-million dollar business. So now this could be a problem. Is the amount of money that a local coffee shop is willing to pay me for a website enough for me to live on? And if it's not, then I don't have a valid business model here. This cannot work. It will not work. And it's that latter equation that a lot of people don't do. They focus entirely on how much are clients willing to pay me, and they don't stop to think, well, is this amount of money actually enough for me to reach my goals?
So Matt, you have clearly learned a lot about how to run a business over the last 11 years, and what, in particular, what you now help other people do, freelancers and consultants. How did you learn it? How did you learn it without going belly up?
Yeah, so honestly, a couple times it was a close call because I learned it the stubborn way. I didn't seek out the right mentorship. I didn't seek out the right instruction. So a lot of it was cold, hard experience for many years. And eventually I did smarten up and I did start talking to other people running successful businesses. In fact, I went so far as now I have a podcast where I've interviewed over 100 successful freelancers and agency owners, and I've been able to learn a lot from them, quite frankly. But when I started out, it was all just me trying to figure things out. And the good news is that it worked, but the bad news is there were many mistakes that were very fixable that I was completely blind to. And I was only able to find and fix those mistakes when things were very severe. So probably my lowest moment was when I had to get rid of my office. And what happened and what made this particularly painful is about a year and a half before that moment, I had actually expanded to a bigger office. I had spent about 25 grand of the company's money on renovations. And that was borrowed money, by the way. We had borrowed something like $75,000 for this expansion. So 25 grand went just into leasehold improvements, which for those that deal with office space will know is money that you sink into the space that you never get back because it's still the landlord's space. It was a beautiful office, lots of different colors on the wall, very modern, open concept. And I started hiring more people. And I was doing that on this idea that by growing, my business would magically be successful. I mean, that seems to be a lot of the advice that you get, especially in the startup world. It's this old idea of ready, fire, aim, where you kind of just get going and then you figure everything else out later. So I used that mentality probably in the wrong way and decided to just keep expanding and accept that I'll figure the rest out. And what happened instead is by suddenly spending a lot more money on rent, by suddenly spending a lot more money on employees, I suddenly had very limited runway to fix anything. And I suddenly started to realize that a lot of problems in my business model were now actually compounding. So before, things kind of worked okay. I mean, money was being made. But as soon as I tried to scale the thing up, these critical flaws in how I was approaching selling website development services multiplied, and I suddenly realized that they were costing me a ton of money. And the good news is that because these problems suddenly became so evident, I was forced to sit down eventually and say, hey, I'm about to run out of money. I need to do something about this. But it's not, shall we say, the ideal way to have to learn, and it's not the necessary way to learn.
So what kinds of advice would you offer our listeners about kinds of help that might be useful?
So I think there's a few things that are critical. And it's not that I didn't do any of these things, but I don't think that I did enough of them or nearly enough. The first is finding appropriate mentorship, which is really just code for finding people who have actually already done what you're trying to achieve themselves and talking to them and finding out how they did it, understanding what allowed them to reach that goal, whether that's a business goal or a personal goal or anything. Find the people that have done it. They have treaded that path. They have left footprints. You can learn from them. Heck, work for them. I wish I had worked for an agency for a couple of years before I started my own. So finding the people that have actually done it is huge, and having that direct contact to them. The second thing is understanding what new skill sets and things you have to learn in order to be successful in your new endeavor. And you can pick up that knowledge. You can pick up that knowledge in so many different ways. Now we have available books. We have available courses, both online courses and courses at your local college or university. The amount of information out there is huge. And that's not really the problem. The problem is understanding what is it that you don't know and actually taking the time and effort to learn those things, because this is a new journey. And just because you have a technical skill or some other strengths doesn't mean that you have the other pieces of a puzzle, and it doesn't mean that you can ignore those pieces.
Matt, what's your experience been getting help from business coaches versus some kind of peer support community?
It's been a mixed bag. So over time, I have become very deliberate in investing in myself and making sure I am investing in working with people that have achieved the things that I am trying to achieve. And I think both have been important to me. So early on, I did get advice and mentorship, but I didn't get advice and mentorship from people that had actually done what I was trying to do. I did speak to business coaches that basically coach small businesses, but didn't actually know anything about running a web development company specifically. I did get advices from things like chambers of commerce and so on. But again, these were not people that were specifically running an agency or understood what it meant to be a consultant or understood things like pricing your services correctly. So I was able to get a lot of generic advice, and some of it was very helpful. It really was. But I didn't actually have that level of mentorship that I mentioned earlier that would have been critical in actually avoiding some of those very specific mistakes. So if I had to go back and do things over again, those are the kind of people that I would have sought out. Nowadays, things are very different, though, because I have done two things. And you actually, you brought up the second thing, and I think it's important. One, I have sought out to learn from people that have done it. And I have sought out to make a lot of them my peers. So, for example, I participate in several private communities where there's other consultants, other online business owners trying to do exactly what I'm trying to do. And they're all at different stages. I'm a member of three different masterminds that I participate in regularly, specifically because we can help each other. And of course, I've had the great advantage and pleasure of having over 100 people on my own podcast who have been successful freelancers and agency owners. And I've been able to learn from them as well. And that's all of that has been very purposefully cultivated. And it's been a significant investment on my part as well. I mean, I've traveled to conferences just to make connections with people that I feel I need to know, that I feel need to be in my peer group, because I have seen the benefit of that.
How do you keep all of this from being cost prohibitive? Because well, I think that's one of the challenges and questions that people have. When, yes, it's important to invest in ourselves and invest in what it will take for our businesses to be able to be more successful. There are so many different options out there to choose from. How do you choose the right ones, and how do you avoid investing too much?
Sure. So that's a great question. And I think it's based on a fundamental mistake, though, which is looking at somebody that's pretty far along and simply trying to emulate what they're doing at that particular point in time, at that particular stage in their business. So I know a lot of people that invest, for example, far more than me into personal developments. They're part of 20,000 a year, 100,000 a year private groups, specifically because it allows them to work with a certain tier of people that are in the same place as they are. Nobody starts there. Nobody. So one of the things I did when starting Freelance Transformation, which is my second business and which is where I teach freelancers, is I invested in a couple online courses. And they weren't particularly expensive. They were, you know, I think I spent about $3,000 over 2 years on a couple courses that were oriented specifically towards the things that I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how to launch a podcast, and I wanted to learn how to launch an online product. That involved zero travel, that involved zero conferences, etc. And it made a huge difference because, one, I got access to specific blueprints on those two things. I got access to a blueprint on how to launch my online business and with tons of video instruction and everything. And I got access to a blueprint on how to launch my podcast. And I consumed those resources like crazy. I made the most of that investment. And at that point in my life, investing $3,000 into this new business felt about right. And since then, that business has grown. Since then, I've been able to justify things like going to conferences, meeting people in person, flying all over the world, doing speaking, being part of, you know, private paid groups, some of which are quite expensive, plus they come with travel costs. But again, I did not start there. I started very simply, and I started at the level that made sense. Just by joining those two courses, I got access to a great community of fellow students that were all trying to do the same things that I was trying to do. That was actually one of the key selling points for me, is not only do I get instructions from the instructor, but I get access to my peers as well. So don't make the mistake of thinking that the only way you can move forward is by spending something crazy like $20,000 or $50,000 a year or more on making these connections. You don't have to spend anything. You can go to your library and buy a book. Or if you really want to make these connections online, use the social networking tools that are available to you already, like Facebook. Like, you can build your network very quickly just based off the network that you have and actually helping people in your network and starting to make introductions and starting to connect people who can help each other. That all ends up coming back to you. It's crazy how it works, but it absolutely does work. So you don't have to spend a dime or you can go and invest in some cups of coffee to meet people, or you can invest in a book, or you can invest in a course, or you can invest in like crazy private mastermind groups. They're all great options. They're just there for different stages of your business.
Right. And I think you're making a really valid point that when you're looking for help, to find, particularly when you're looking for help that involves a community, find a community that has peers and instructors that are at the right level for where you are now.
Absolutely. That is the big thing. We all start somewhere, and it's okay to be starting.
But it's important to get started.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and that's the thing. The absolute worst thing that you can do is put your head in the sand and say, hey, I can do all of this all by myself.
Yeah. Now, looking at something like a mastermind where you have the kind of peer support that you do in that kind of group, are there particular frameworks that you find work very well?
Yeah, definitely. So I participate in 3 masterminds. 2 of them are a very traditional format. We meet once a week and we go through the format of everybody updates everybody else on how they're doing. And one mastermind group, both my mastermind groups have 4 people in them. So it's not a long process. And then we also have a hot seat. So we might spend 15 to 20 minutes updating on what we did that week, which is super great for accountability. But then one person has a hot seat where they bring up a specific issue or specific challenge that they're trying to solve, and they get input and kind of group brainstorming from the rest of a group. And that's been incredibly effective because once a month you get help from your peers on a specific issue, which forces deep introspection into your business instead of pushing things off because they're too difficult to deal with. The other mastermind group I'm in is very different because it's a paid mastermind group, and it's one where we actually meet in person. And we fly in from all over the continent, and we sit down 3 times a year and spend several days working on our respective businesses and helping each other. And of course, we also keep in touch online and everything constantly. But that's very different. And that's a much more advanced format. And it's got certain advantages, of course, such as the fact that it forces you to shed away the world for several days and just really work on your business. But I would have never been able to start there. Whereas it was definitely possible for me to round up several friends and agree to meet up every week and help each other with our business.
That's great. Do you find anything counterintuitive about these kinds of community-based support that you wouldn't expect to happen?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just participating in the first place has a way of bringing up issues that you didn't even know that you were struggling with. So it would be very easy for us to say, well, we've got nothing really going on. Let's not meet this week. Let's meet a month from now because we all know what we're doing and we're just, you know, we'll regroup at that point. But the reality is, as soon as you actually meet and start talking to each other, you start realizing that, yes, you definitely have issues you want to bring up. Yes, there are definitely things that you're struggling with, and you didn't even realize that you were struggling with them. And it's that process of actually examining your business and thinking about your business that brought them out.
So just the fact that you're sitting, whether it's virtual or in person, and talking about your business unearths some things that you didn't think you were struggling with.
Yeah, absolutely. And tangential to that is the fact that sometimes the things that you think you're struggling with are not actually the most important thing in your business or not the root cause of your challenge. I've seen that happen over and over, both in all the masterminds that I've been in, because you think that your problem is, for example, that you need more clients. But you get input from your peers who are also at different stages of their business and can take a more outside look at your business and say, hey, your problem isn't finding clients at all. Your problem is that you're taking on the wrong types of clients, or you're not charging enough money. And that's really why you're not able to achieve the root goal of making X dollars a year. Taking on more clients won't solve that. And that's huge, because you could run off for a year or two trying to figure out how to get even more clients, only to realize only in hindsight that you were solving the wrong problem to begin with.
Yeah. Why do you think that happens when you're in a group versus another way to try to solve that problem.
It's just the fact that you've got people that are not entrenched in your business. We are all super blind to our own business. That's why, for example, for me, I work constantly with my clients to help them with their business. And I'm very hands-on. So we don't just build websites. We help you with your online strategy. And there have been numerous occasions where I've met with a client and they have walked out literally with a changed business because they had a blind spot that they didn't even realize that they had. So for example, there's been multiple times where I've actually helped clients rework their pricing. Not because that takes a lot of web development, but because I knew from my own experience and my own perspective that there's certain pricing models that work really well online. And their model was kind of shifted off of that. And because of that, they were losing tons of money. And because I had that separate perspective and that outside perspective, then I was able to help them with that. Whereas, you know, for them, it was a blind spot. And it's the same thing for my own business. So it's very easy for me to go to my clients and find these blind spots. But as soon as I'm in my own business, I have my own blind spots. And I don't know that I have them. And the only way to find these blind spots is to have other people find them for you and point them out for you. And that can sometimes save years and years of going along, you know, thinking everything is fine. Meanwhile, there's this like burning problem that you don't even realize exists.
Matt, what do you think really successful people do to get guidance that other people don't?
Well, first of all, they do it. I can't overstate that enough because it's completely one thing to listen to this podcast and understand that, you know, you do need coaching, you do need mentorship, you do need information, you do need the support of your peers. And it's another thing to actually go and tomorrow decide to start a mastermind or tomorrow seek out somebody that has actually done what you're trying to achieve and either hire them or work for them or take them out to coffee or do something to learn from them. So they actually go and they do it and they are not afraid to invest in themselves. You know, they don't go into debt to do it. They don't go break the piggy bank and spend all their money on personal development. That's crazy. I think there's actually an addiction there that is like people that do that are not actually helping themselves, but they're not afraid to invest in themselves in a way that allows them to move forward. And one thing I've learned in my own journey is I've had the chance to have an increasingly higher level of business owner in my peer group, in my network, is that they focus a lot more on not how they can make tactical changes to their business. So how can they get this perfect sales page? How can they get, you know, how can they hire the perfect person? How can they get the perfect pricing strategy? They start to focus a lot more on themselves and they start to focus a lot more on their mindset and understanding how to develop the mindset, the mental tools, the resilience, the thinking approach that they need in order to be able to solve problems in their business. And they invest a ton in having that support network and in having similarly minded people work together to develop these mindsets, develop these habits so that they can actually repeatedly solve problems versus people that are starting out tend to focus a lot more instead on who can I work with that is going to help me, you know, get my pricing right or get some of these other tactical things right versus investing in how can I actually become a better business owner?
Yeah, that's very powerful. Very powerful. So thanks for sharing that. Matt, whom do you know personally who's been successful at smashing plateaus?
I am going to say my friend David Mancilla, who also runs a consultancy. I had him in my podcast. I forget off the top of my head what episode number it was, but if you Google freelance transformation, David Mancilla, you will find him. And he's an example of somebody who has just had a phenomenal progression from working a dead-end job that, you know, that wasn't really creating the life that he wanted for himself to building up an amazing consultancy. Like he works for some really big companies and he works on some really big systems, and the size of his team boggles my mind. And every single step of the way, he's faced serious challenges, challenges in the survival of his business, challenges in being able to go from a lone consultant working for his clients to building up a team and building up a bigger team and building up processes. And David's done all of that. So huge shout out to him.
Wow. Sounds like a great example. And Matt, looking back at yourself, what's going on with you now and how are you smashing the plateau? What's coming up with you in the near future?
So what's coming up with me in the near future is I have been working heavily with freelancers in helping them start their own business. And I now have a whole bunch of tools and resources for freelancers in order to do that. And in fact, we can share a special link for your listeners, freelancetransformation.com/smash, where we can share some of these tools and resources for free. And I've also been working on a whole course, because I do believe in practicing what I preach. And one of the things that I believe firmly is I wish that when I had started, I had that blueprint. I wish I had that peer support. I wish I had that person that had done exactly what I was trying to do. So I'm now trying to give back and provide that to others. So I created a course, Freelance Start, which is super detailed and embodies the exact philosophy that we talked about. And if you get on my email list, if you check out some of the tools that I mentioned, then you will hear about Freelance Start as well. And that's, you know, that's been a journey itself. It's been well over 2 years to create it. So to go back to your question of smashing plateaus, what's allowed me to build a second business in 2 years versus in 11 years is the fact that I have now been a lot more active in finding out other people who are trying to do the same thing and really working with them in all sorts of different arrangements, such as the masterminds I mentioned. And that's really accelerated the ability to do this so quickly.
That's great. And who is this course ideal for?
The course is ideal for people that are looking to break free of the 9-to-5 and start having their own clients. So that could mean that you eventually want to be a freelancer or consultant full time. That could mean that you're trying to earn income on the side, possibly, you know, in order to do other things of your life, but still have an income coming in. And you're trying to find those first clients and you're trying to put those pieces together and make sure that you end up working for the right clients and actually being able to achieve whatever goals you're trying to achieve with freelancing. For some people, those are financial. For a lot of people, those are lifestyle. A lot of my students have just become fed up with that daily commute, that daily grind, that cubicle, the fact that, you know, they're basically living in the real world version of the movie Office Space and they want out. And this is the path of how to do it. And it's based on the path that I took. And it's based on everything I've learned from interviewing 100 other successful freelancers and agency owners.
Sounds great. And Matt, in addition to the special link you shared, how can listeners follow you and learn more about you?
Yeah, so definitely check out freelancetransformation.com. That's where you'll get all of my articles, podcast as well. Or if you are listening to this on your podcast player, then just search out Freelance Transformation. It'll pop up, subscribe to the show, and we can start hanging out together.
Sounds great. Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming back again on Smashing the Plateau and sharing more of all of the great advice and tips that you have for freelancers and consultants. My guest today has been Matt Inglot, founder of Freelance Transformation. Thank you again, Matt, for joining us.
Thanks so much, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.